So glad you guys are here tonight. Thanks for coming out. So we're going to dive right in, and I'm going to go ahead and pray for us. So if you could just join me in prayer as we bow our heads and seek the Lord. Heavenly Father, we are aware that your presence is already here, that you are already in our midst. As we worship you, you are here with us, God. And now that we enter into your word, God, I pray that you would speak through me, through your word, into our hearts, into our minds, God. I have nothing to say unless your Holy Spirit fills me and speaks through me, God. So I pray that all of our hearts, all of our minds would be receptive to what you have to teach us tonight, God. Pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, as a kid, I loved sports. I loved playing sports. I loved it so much that I actually thought my ultimate fulfillment in my life would come through sports, through accomplishments in sports. And I specifically remember thinking, being like 8 years old, the day I hit a home run, I'll be ultimately satisfied and ultimately fulfilled. Or when I play quarterback and I finally throw a touchdown, that'll be the end all be all and I'll be ultimately satisfied and find fulfillment in my life. Well, a few years later, those things happened. Not a lot, but they happened. You know, I wasn't great, but I was decent. But when those things happened, I remember thinking, wow, that didn't satisfy me the way I thought it would. Have you ever experienced this? Have you ever thought something would satisfy you and fulfill you, but after you accomplished this or that, you realized it didn't. It didn't have that same satisfaction in reality that it had in the dream sequence in your mind when you thought about it. I'm sure we all have, right? Maybe for you, you had a crush on a girl or a guy, right? And all of a sudden, you finally dated that person, and they didn't kind of measure up to the crush that you had in your mind. Like, you started to notice some flaws, and you were like, you know, I envisioned this relationship going a lot different than it actually is. So it didn't really fulfill me the way I thought it would. Or maybe you finally scored that winning goal in a soccer game, and it lasted for about a day or two, and you were like, oh, that was amazing. But then you're like, okay, well, we got another game. Or maybe for you, you finally got an A on that test, or you got into that college that you always wanted to get into, your dream school, or you finally got that job you always wanted. And after a while, it just kind of didn't satisfy you the way you thought. But this is natural and normal for all of us, right? We've all been there. We've all had this need inside of us to want something more, something ultimate, fulfilling in our hearts and our minds. And we've striving after all kinds of different things in this world to satisfy the innermost need that we all have as humans. And this need isn't limited to normal people like you and me. Celebrities struggle with this too. A guy named Boris Becker, he's a professional tennis player a long time ago. He was once the highest paid player in the world. And he famously said, I wish that someone would have told me that when you reach the top, there's nothing there. And similarly, the famous actor Jim Carrey, Dumb and Dumber, anybody? Dumb and Dumber, one of the best comedies of all time. I know it was like made in 94 before a lot of you were born, but Dumb and Dumber is amazing. But he famously said, I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed of so that they could see that it's not the answer. So what is the answer? Well, we're going to look at that. But even people from the Bible have struggled with this. You guys heard of King Solomon? He wrote the book of Ecclesiastes and a lot of the Proverbs. Well, he had all the wealth, all the wisdom, and all the women any guy could ever want. He was a famous king with all kinds of possessions. And he said in Ecclesiastes 1, meaningless, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. So if Boris Becker, Jim Carrey, and King Solomon all essentially are saying the same thing, it's meaningless. All these things that I tried to achieve that culture tells us is important, like money, wealth, power, fame, status. And if these people who already achieved these things are saying it's meaningless, that's essentially what they're all saying, then how do we find a meaningful life in the midst of a culture that tells us to strive after all these other things, and yet the people who have got the things we want have told us from their own testimony, from their own experience, yeah, you know, it's not everything I thought it would be. And we're like, okay, cool. So where should I focus my attention then? Like, what should I do with my life then? So how do we go from meaningless to meaningful? How do we not live a meaningless life and live a meaningful life? That's what we're going to talk about tonight. What are we supposed to do to fulfill our purpose? What are we supposed to do in this life to live an eternally significant life, to live a life of meaning and significance? Because we all want to know the answer to this question. What is the meaning of life? Because life is empty for all of us unless we know that answer. They all wanted to know that answer, and so do we. We're no different. But what if I told you that there is a way where you could live a meaningful, deeper life, where you could discover the purpose of why you're here on this earth? So tonight, I want to show you what God has to say to you about that and how he answers that question that we all face. So if you have your Bibles, you could turn to Matthew 22. Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40. Matthew 22, 34 through 40. And we're going to have it on the screens as well, but you could take out your phone and Google it or whatever you want to do. But Matthew 22, 34 through 40. Verse 34 says, "Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, 'Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?' Jesus replied, 'Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments.'" What's going on here? Well, Jesus is in the midst of being hassled by these different groups of people. The Herodians and the Pharisees hassle him first, and then the Sadducees hassle him. And then he basically drops the mic on the Sadducees because this first verse is like, the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees and they got together. See, the Pharisees were like, oh dang, he just dropped the mic on the Sadducees, so let's get together and ask him something better. Because we already asked him something earlier in the chapter, now we got to ask him something even more deep, something that we've been thinking about for a long time. And so they ask him, which is the greatest commandment? See, in the Old Testament, there were 613 commandments. It wasn't just limited to the Ten Commandments that we're so familiar with. There were actually 613 Old Testament laws and commandments. So I understand where they're coming from. I would want to know, like, Jesus, what do you think is like the greatest commandment? Because there's no way I'm going to memorize 613 things, right? None of us could do that. So I would want to know, like, what's the gist or what's that underlying principle that would tell us how to fulfill the essence of all the other 613 commandments? And Jesus is like, okay, here's the answer. Love God and love people. But here's where it gets interesting. Historians and scholars say that the Pharisees, stay with me here, the Pharisees had these ongoing debates about what the greatest commandments were. They were trying to figure out this for a long time, for decades, long before Jesus came along. And so Jesus is aware of this, and even in the next chapter, Matthew 23:23, he talks about the weightier matters of the law being justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Here's why that's significant, because they thought there were some laws, some of the 613 laws were light, and some were heavy, some were weighty, which means light, like, oh, these don't really matter. We don't have to pay attention to all these laws, these ones so much. But these heavy ones, these are the ones we really have to pay attention to. And so Jesus, knowing that they want a priority, because what they're really asking is, what's the priority that I should structure my life by in order to honor you? Because as a good Pharisee, what they were Jewish teachers, right? They were experts in the law. And as a good Pharisee, they believed in one God. They believed in Yahweh, the God of the Old Testament. And a part of them, although they were trying to trick Jesus in this context, I believe an underlying part of them, because of the nature of their decades-long discussions on this subject, a part of them was really interested in what the teacher, that's why they call him teacher, they were actually interested in what the teacher had to say about this issue they've been talking about for a long time. So after he drops the mic on the Sadducees, they're like, okay, I got it. The Pharisees get together and they're like, okay, I got to ask him the thing we've been wondering about for like 50 years, what the greatest commandment is. And Jesus, knowing why they're wondering, because they're wondering, they're coming from a good place. They're like, look, we want to know what the gist is of all these 613 commandments. What do we have to do to not have to do all the other ones? If we could just focus on something, we won't have to worry about everything else. And Jesus tells them, the first thing they have to do is love. Love God. But love God with their entire being, with their heart, soul, and mind. Love God completely. This isn't a fake, like silly, cheap type of love either. This word love comes from the verb agape, which means to hold in high esteem or to hold in high honor, to have a sincere appreciation for. So he's talking about agape God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. In other words, in every aspect of your life, your number one priority in life is to love God with everything you are, with everything you have. There's a Hillsong that's called One Thing, and it says, you're my one thing. I have nothing unless you're my one thing. Is Jesus your one thing tonight? Is he your first and foremost priority of your heart, soul, and mind? Because he wants to be. He wants to be on the throne. He wants to be on the throne of your heart, soul, and mind. Because if he's not, let me tell you something. Just like the Pharisees were trying to figure out the priority of the meaning of life, how to honor God and please God, and thereby, in their worldview, obtain the meaning of life, we also, as good Christian boys and girls, right, we're trying to honor the God we believe in and please God. Because we think the meaning of life will come if we do what God wants us to do. And that's what they were trying to do. God, what do we have to do to please you, to honor you? Love him completely. Love him totally. All your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Now that's a lot easier said than done, I know. But guess what? Humans are fundamentally lovers. I love what James K. A. Smith says in his book, You Are What You Love. Humans are fundamentally lovers because it's not a question of if you are loving. It's a question of what you are loving. Because I could tell you what you're loving if you give me your phone. I could look at your internet activity. I could look at your bank statements. And I could see where you spend your time, where you spend your talents, where you spend your treasure. And I could tell you, I know exactly what you love. I know exactly what you prioritize. Because you prioritize what you love, and you love what you prioritize. Where are your priorities tonight? You're loving something. We're innately, it's in our genetic makeup, it's in our DNA to love. The question is, where are you placing your precious love? Because you only have a limited amount of days on this earth. Where are you placing your precious energies every day? Are you placing them towards the God of the universe or all these fickle, temporary things that the world has to offer? Priorities matter. Priorities steer you in the direction of your destiny. The question is not if you are loving, the question is what you are loving. Priorities determine destinies. If you love riches or fame above anything else, then you probably prioritize things that will make you rich and famous. If you were always checking your phone because you're concerned about likes and followers on social media, then you probably love popularity and you think being popular is the meaning of life. That hit a lot of us. If you're not loving Jesus with all your heart, soul, and mind, may I just suggest to you that your priority is off. And God wants our hearts. He wants every aspect of our lives. Because he knows that he is the best thing this world has to offer. The Bible says he's a jealous God. And that means jealousy in the most pure way. He's the only one who has a right to be jealous because he's the only one who has the firm ground to stand on, because he is the only pure, holy, righteous one who knows that he is the ultimate satisfaction for every human being who's ever lived. And so anybody else who's jealous isn't worthy to be jealous, but God is worthy to be jealous because he wants the best for you and he knows he is the best. So therefore, he's jealous for your time, your resources, your heart, your worship. That's why it says God is a jealous God. Because he values you and he doesn't want his children giving their lives, giving their bodies, giving their souls, giving their time away from things that are going to destroy them. He wants his children giving their hearts to their heavenly Father so he could use them to touch the lost, dark, and hurting world that desperately needs the God inside of you living through you with your kindness, your gentleness, your love. So going back to the question we asked at the beginning, what's the meaning of life? Well, so far we know to love God. Next, we know to love ourselves. Here's what I mean by that. Jesus is assuming that when he says, and he quotes Leviticus 19, one of the laws that they would have been familiar with, Jesus is assuming in this passage that you are already loving yourselves. But I know in my own experience, there's a lot of times where I don't love myself. And I reckon that probably some of you have gone through some moments where you don't love yourself. You're not taking care of yourself. You're not speaking truth to yourself. You're letting thoughts control your mind. You're going in places you didn't want to go because you're choosing not to love yourself the way God wants you to love yourself. Jesus is assuming you're loving yourself when he says, love your neighbors as yourself. Are you loving yourself this week? Did you speak kindly to yourself? Did you have self-compassion? Or did you beat yourself up? I'm no good. I'm never going to make it. I'm not good enough. Or did you transform your thinking by the renewing of your mind and say, no, I'm a child of God. I'm going to overcome. I'm a victor. I'm not the victim. I'm going to do this because I have what it takes to succeed. I'm going to do this because I'm beautiful enough. I am pretty enough, ladies, right? I am good enough, guys. I do have what it takes to succeed in college, to succeed in work one day, to have a family. I am enough. I have what it takes. Love ourselves. You know what I found? That it's hard for me to be nice to other people when I don't get enough sleep and I don't eat right, I don't drink the right things. when I'm not exercising, I'm very irritable. I don't even want to be around me when I don't get enough sleep and I'm not eating right. I'm just highly irritable. Everybody bugs me. I'm just like, dude, you're annoying me, you know? I live with a couple roommates and they always annoy me when I'm having a bad day. No matter what they do, they're just annoying because I'm just irritable. But it's my fault because I chose to stay up late or I chose to go out to a restaurant with friends the night before or whatever, and I didn't get enough sleep. I didn't eat right or whatever it may be. I wasn't taking care of myself. Because here's what I found for the last thing, to love others. When you get the first two right, this last one's easy. When you love God and you're complete in God and you're loving yourself, you're getting enough sleep, diet, exercise, you're taking care of yourself, you're speaking truth to yourself, this comes naturally. This comes easy. Loving other people is like a natural byproduct of the first two. Priorities determine destinies. Get your priority right. It'll be much easier to do what God calls us to do. So Jesus says that all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. He's like, this is what the heart of the Old Testament is all about. Loving God with everything you are and loving people. If you do this, it's not going to replace the other 613 commandments, but it will fulfill the essence of all the other 613 commandments in the Old Testament. See, Christianity is very simple. With all the Old Testament laws, the Leviticus, priesthood laws, all that, he's saying if you could just get these two things right, loving God and love your neighbor as yourself, you'll fulfill the essence of all those other Old Testament laws. Christianity is very simple. Love God totally and love others as you love yourself. So Jesus gives us the answer to our question. What is the meaning of life? What am I supposed to do to fulfill the meaning of life? To live a meaningful life, not a meaningless life like Solomon said. This is what he says we're supposed to do. Love God, love ourselves, and love others, because that is the highest priority and the ultimate purpose of our lives. The Pharisees wanted to know which is the greatest commandment. In other words, what is the priority that I should structure my life in order to please you, therefore find meaning in my life as a good Jewish person? And Jesus tells them, this is the priority. God, others as yourselves. Ultimate purpose, highest priority. If we could get this right, you will live a meaningful life. So now what? This is what? Invest in eternity. No matter what you do, no matter where you go, invest in eternity. Invest in what matters most. And this is what matters most according to Jesus. And I want to look at Jesus and see what he says, because I believe in Jesus. He's my God. He's my Savior. He's my Lord and Master. So what he says goes. And so I'm going to invest in what he says. I'm going to give my life in every way, shape, and form to God and people. Because at the end of my life, I want to know that I lived for eternity. And the only things that matter, the only things that live forever are these two things. All the wealth, Instagram likes, Facebook status, whatever. None of that lasts forever. I mean, 20 years, people aren't going to care about Instagram likes and followers. There's going to be something new out there. Think about how temporary it already is. Nobody cares about Facebook anymore. When I was at USC, everybody was on Facebook. Instagram wasn't even around. And now, like, nobody cares about Facebook. You guys are all on Instagram. And, like, 4 years from now, there's going to be, like, Snapchat number two or something. So my point is, everything else is temporary. Jesus says what lasts forever, and Jesus says structure and pattern your life based on these two things. The Pharisees were searching for the answer. King Solomon was searching for the answer. Boris Becker, the famous tennis player, was searching for the answer. Jim Carrey from Dumb and Dumber was searching for the answer, and we're no different. We're all searching for the answer. What really matters in this life? And Jesus gives us the answer. So what do I want you to do? How do you do this? How do you invest in things that matter? Well, you could start by doing one simple thing. Reprioritize your life. Where are your priorities tonight? Reprioritize your life so you could do what matters most, so you could fulfill your destiny, the reason why God put you on this earth. Reprioritize your life. When you're at a zoo and you see the lions in the den, and you wonder, like, how do they get fed and everything? Well, I read about a story where animal trainers go into the lion's den, and they carry stuff you'd imagine them to carry. Some carry whips, some carry pistols, but they also always carry one other thing. You know what it is? A stool. They carry a stool into the lion's den. Now, why would a trainer, if you're a lion, they're carrying a stool. They're like, they put the legs facing the lion. The reason why they do this is because the lion gets confused because he can't focus on all four legs at the same time. And so he gets like blurry vision and he kind of goes tame and lame and disabled and he gets almost paralyzed by indecision, and so he becomes worthless and useless and has no harm to the animal trainer just because he can't focus on what's most important to him, the human being that he wants to eat. The lion can't focus on the human being because he's seen the four legs and he can't focus on what's most important. In the same way, we cannot focus on what's most important in our lives when we have too many things to love. Like I said earlier, humans are fundamentally lovers. It's not a matter of if you were loving, it's what you were loving. And if you're loving this, popularity, if you're loving wealth, if you're loving fame, if you're loving relationships, you're missing the man behind the picture. You're missing the God of the universe who looks at you and says, your priorities are off. You're loving the wrong things. Look behind what you see. I made all this. These are temporary. Look behind and see the God of the universe who sees you, who loves you, and who wants you to reprioritize your life so you can live the life of peace, joy, and love he destined you to live. Our focus should be on what Jesus says matters most, God and people. So maybe for you, that would mean this week you abandon social media for a week to read and pray more, which would be loving God more. To sleep and exercise more, loving yourself more. And then when you do those things, you might actually have the right heart alignment and the right capacity in your heart to then naturally extend love to others who you need to love, to extend yourself to others who know they need your love. So if that's you this week, just consider that. Allow God to speak to you and through you in this time. Maybe for others of you, so long you've had a perspective of what the good life is, and you've shaped and patterned your life around what you think the good life is. Like I did, if I could just hit a home run, if I could just throw a touchdown, thinking that that would be the end all be all of my life. Now you know what it is? Well, when I get married, then it'll be like perfectly happy and perfectly complete. No, I'm not going to be perfectly whole just because I get married one day. So there's always going to be something in our lives. After I achieve those things, it's the next thing. Well, once I get this, then I'll be happy. Then I'll be whole. Then I'll be complete. And God's like, no. I need to change my perspective on what matters most. So maybe for you, that means going for a walk, spending some time with God, talking to a mentor, reading a good book. So as the worship band comes back up, I want you to think about your misplaced priorities. Where are your misplaced priorities in your life? Because you know what? If you get your priorities right, it may change a few things in your life. It may change your career ambitions, what you think you want to do in your life as a career. It may also change who you pick for a spouse. When you get this priority right, it may change how you select who you're going to date and who you end up choosing. I've been there. I've done that. My priorities have shaped a lot of things in my life. I haven't been perfect on it, but there were definitely moments in my life where I knew I could have this. This would be great, but that's not the priority of my heart. That's not what God has chosen for me. And I'm going to wait on His timing. I'm going to wait on the Lord, and I'm going to do what God's called me to do in this season of my life. Your career ambitions, your choice for a spouse, it may all change. The famous evangelist, I'm closing with this, the famous evangelist, Billy Graham. You guys heard of Billy Graham? He's really old, yeah. But when he was about 88 years old, about 10 years ago, his daughter came to his bedside and they were talking. And he told his daughter, you know, when you get older, secondary things like politics begin to fall away. And the primary things become primary again. The primary thing or the priority is, as Jesus said, to try to love God totally and to love our neighbor as ourselves. If Billy Graham had to be reminded of what the proper priorities in his life should be, then I think you and I need to be reminded too. I definitely do. This has been challenging for me. I need to reprioritize some things. Priorities can determine a destiny. Like a rudder on a boat, they steer you into a direction of your destiny. What are your priorities today? Where are they taking you? Where's that boat taking you? Where are you placing your rudder, and where are you going? Where's the trajectory of your life? Are you gonna say like Billy Graham at the end of his life, this is what is primary. Make the primary things primary. So what would it look like? Imagine the world if every single person loved God with all their heart, soul, and mind, and loved their neighbors as they love themselves. What kind of a world would we live in if that happened? Man, that sounds a lot like heaven. That sounds like a beautiful place. That sounds like new heavens, new earth in Revelation 21. No more mourning, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more death, for the old order of things has passed away. And the one who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. I'm waiting for that day, but until then, I'm gonna get the priority right. I'm gonna love God, and I'm gonna love people. Will you pray with me? Father God, I just pray that all of us would consider what it is that you have for us in this message, in this text, that we would love you with everything we are. We would give you our heart if we haven't given you our heart. And that we would take everything that we prioritize and we would place it at your feet. And we would say, Jesus, restructure my priorities. I want to order my life in a way that pleases you, my God. Help me to do that, God. I need you. Help us to do that, God. We all need you. Holy Spirit, speak. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you stand and sing with us? Desire.